DW Africa Link. The countdown is on for Cameroon's upcoming presidential election. It's a pivotal moment that could reshape the country's future. President Paul Biya is seeking another term after more than four decades in power. As opposition forces rally for change, the political atmosphere is charged with anticipation, uncertainty, and even hope.
We are just hoping that things get better because the situation of the country is getting tough by the day, and we are hoping that whoever wins the election should see into the situation, the problems the citizens are facing. So that's just all the reason why we ought to vote.
As a citizen, it is my birthright. It is a time where I need to decide for the fate of this country for the next 7 years, and I am going in with a lot of optimism.
So what can Cameroonians and the world expect from this election, and what issues will dominate the campaign? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter. Africa Link, every weekday here on DW. Cameroon is heading into one of its most historic elections in decades. On October 12th, millions of voters will head to the polls. President Paul Biya, the world's oldest president, is running for an eighth term at the age of 92, having been in power for 43 years. The opposition's most visible leader, Maurice Kamto, has been blocked from contesting. The Electoral Commission claimed his party violated rules by allegedly submitting two presidential candidates, a decision critics say was politically motivated. Many are already asking, will the results truly reflect the people's will? Now, this election is more than just a vote. It's a test. So let's unpack this with DW correspondent in Cameroon, Jean-Marie Ingonsong, and Dr. Fokum Violet, a political analyst. Welcome to Africa Link, lady and gentlemen. Jean-Marie, campaigning has been going on for a week already. What's the atmosphere like in Cameroon ahead of the elections?
Well, Eddie, since the launch of campaigns last week, candidates have been moving, crisscrossing the cities of Cameroon, holding political rallies. Last weekend, the main opposition party, as many people would call it in the Anglophone regions, not at the national level, the Social Democratic Front, as well as the ruling party, the Cameroon People's Democratic Movement, were in the chief town of the Northwest Regional Capital here, Bamenda, campaigning, convincing voters, and of course, promising people like other areas that if they are given a chance to rule, they will do the various manifestos that have been circulating already. In Anglophone regions, we should also be reminding our listeners that people get to go around only on weekends. So the campaigns were launched here on Saturday, and people only had the privilege to listen to campaign messages on Saturday and on Sunday. From Monday, people are back indoors. There's nothing happening. The city is dead and places are quiet.
Remind us again why people can only move out on weekends so people can be up to speed with it.
It's been 4 weeks since separatist fighters announced a 6 weeks lockdown to frustrate the upcoming presidential elections. According to them, the sit-at-home calls will frustrate politicians from going into the hinterland to campaign, to canvass voters to vote for their political parties. So it's been week four, and people are opportune only to go out on weekends, that is Saturday and Sunday.
Right. Thanks, Jean-Marie, for keeping us posted on that. Let me come to you, Dr. Fokum, because from what I'm hearing, with less than 2 weeks to go to elections, it doesn't seem like Cameroon is ready, or am I exaggerating this? What do you make of all of this?
On the part of the public, I think there's still low public trust because citizens still view the process as more symbolic rather than the genuine competitive events where where we'll have maybe a replacement. And with the recent happenings, I think on Saturday, Akeremuna and Ateki Sete dropped out and formed a coalition with Bello Boba. There's a lot of mixed feelings because first, some schools of thought think that we are still tilting towards the narrative of giving power to the older generation rather than handing power to the younger generation. And you find even with the campaigns, there's some sort of uneven playing ground with the insecurity on ground, like Jean-Marie mentioned. You realize that the incumbent has more power, given the fact that they have control of institutions and security. They have an upper power than the opposition. So you see there's a lot of either fear, lack of trust in the whole process.
How different is the feeling of this upcoming election compared to previous other elections, Dr. Fulcum?
There have been a lot of mobilization on the field. As a civil society activist that I've been, we've done a lot of sensitization for people to register to vote. And we've seen, I think, that may mark increase in the number of persons who have registered to vote. So you realize that there's commitments and a lot of people want to see change. We are tired. This should be the eighth year, or is it the ninth year running? When school starts, Anglophone students cannot go to school because of announced lockdowns and all. We are certainly, the population is certainly tired and they need to see change. And obviously for the 8 years, change has not come with the incumbent. So we need the population want to see if change can come with another person. Certainly everybody wants to, is vying to cast their votes. But now the problem is, how do they do that? Because with the announced lockdown, there were mixed feelings. Maybe it will not hold, maybe it will hold. But given the intensity of it, I start questioning myself if we'll be able to go out on the election day to vote. How do you get to your polling station to vote with the lockdowns, no cars moving and all? How do you get to your polling stations to vote? So even with the enthusiasm to vote, given the number of people who have registered, the next question is, how do we get to the polling stations if they are not near the residential areas?
Sounds like a lot is happening on the ground that is already making it difficult, let alone on the election day. But you talk about something interesting, Dr. Fulcum, about people just wanting change. Well, for that change to happen, the opposition should be united and strong enough to unseat the status quo. Is the opposition strong enough to do that?
I don't want to talk based on my perspective, but with the experience on ground, I would say no. I don't think they're strong enough. I was just glancing through social media now, a few minutes before this interview, and I saw an exclusive that was posted on one of the WhatsApp groups, and they were talking about Akeremona and Ateki giving their votes to Bello Boba on the condition that they are made, I think, either they are given a ministerial position or made prime minister. And you start asking yourself many questions. So you realize that at the end of the day, we just have a series of, I'm sorry to say, but power mongers, just people who want to satisfy their own self-interest rather than substantively representing the interests of the people who have to elect them to represent them. The opposition is still very, very weak. I mean, Joshua Osi said he's not lining up behind anybody. So certainly there's no coalition coming from that side. The people who have joined coalition, certainly with this exclusive coming up, there certainly is no hope, given the fact that you have started seeing issues of self-interest being portrayed in the whole issue of a coalition.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Jean-Marie. From what I'm hearing, the fact that the main opposition leader, Maurice Kamto, is not allowed to run, and as Dr. Fulcum is saying, the seems to not be much unity among the opposition left to take on the establishment. Is that fair to say that, again, President Paul Biya, the incumbent, will retain his presidency?
It's obvious, given that he has been in that position for close to for over 40 years now. He has mastered everything. We're talking about even the election governing management body that he is the one that has appointed. This is creation. A majority of the cabinet ministers of the ruling party, the CPDM, majority of the elites in almost every top government position in Cameroon are of the CPDM. We see even Samuel Etofis. We see even legend musicians like Longe Longe, all of them managers of the CPDM. So with all these, given that out of the 12 presidential candidates, 11 of them were of the opposition, we're seeing two throwing their weight behind Bello Bouba. Bello Bouba, that has been in the same regime for a long time and has been in government all over, we don't see that opposition can have a say in this election. It's like a deja vu for the ruling CPDM and President Paul Biya already.
Right. And we understand that Paul Biya himself has not even been campaigning. Is that accurate? I mean, how is his party campaigning for his re-election?
Yes, the campaigns were launched last week, and the president of Cameroon was out of the country for a private stay in Europe. We have seen ministers, we have seen the central committee of the CPDM made up of elites drawn from all the 10 regions of Cameroon sent back to their own hometowns to campaign on behalf of the CPDM. Social media has been awash recently of the heavy deployment of the presidential guards up north around Marwa, where it is anticipated that President Paul Biya will be making a surprise landing from his private stay in Europe to launch his own campaigns. If that happened, that would be the only situation Cameroonians will get to see President Paul Biya, who will maybe present in a campaign rally.
I see. Dr. Fokum, so I'm just wondering, when we talk about, again, the opposition, as you say, definitely not strong enough, even veteran politicians representing the UNDP party, Bello Bouba, Mike Gary, for instance, I'm just wondering what message they are putting out there that could sway voters in any direction. What are your thoughts on the messages being put out there?
The fact that they are trying to form a coalition gives hope. But then we look at start looking at their manifestos and then the interest behind the coalition. You go back to the issue of the election being more of predetermined than genuine. And when we talk about change in terms of them forming a coalition that will bring the much needed change, I had a look at their different manifestos, because at this point, what motivates us to know who we want to vote is their manifestos. And I start asking myself if really we are talking about the real issues that are plaguing Cameroon at the time, or we are just trying to convince voters to prioritize us by giving votes.
What's stopping the opposition from coming together to be strong?
Certainly, self-interest. Everybody wants to stand out and be the president, forgetting that whatever they are doing is playing to the advantage of the incumbent, because at the end of the day, they are distributing their votes to the different persons. I think last election, if you realize, opposition came out, I think, was it 35% or so? So if they had formed a coalition, then certainly they would have at least had a simple majority that would have outweighed the incumbent.
So we understand that there's only one female candidate mm-hmm. vying for the presidency, Hermine Patricia. Mm-hmm. What are her chances of getting the woman's support as the only woman? And with your response, I would also want to understand the role of women in Cameroonian elections.
Yes, so I would like to look at the role of women in three phases. One, in terms of numerical representation, like you said, we have just one female candidate vying for the position. And when I look at those pulling behind her, I would say she doesn't have the support of the women population. Like we'll see, I mean, the population of women in Cameroon is like 51%. I cannot explain why, but she doesn't have the support either. Maybe the strategies she's using is not effective enough, or we are not yet aware of the fact that we need to stand behind her, or maybe her manifesto is not clear enough. I don't understand, but she does not have the support of the women, being the only female candidate. And then looking at the substantive representation that talks about women's representation in politics generally, if you look at the manifestos of all the 12 candidates present, I think only Hermine talks about issues of maybe gender equality. Most manifestos are still very generic. In a period where we are talking about issues of gender equality, quota systems, and all of that, gender mainstreaming, I think there is still much to be done as far as the different incumbent, both the incumbents and the opposition is concerned. There are still very, very gender issues are still very, very missing in their manifestos. And when you look at activities at the grassroots, that is where you now see the role of women coming in strongly. Women are more active at the level of grassroots, either through civil society organizations, either through community-based organizations. They are more into the informal activities, ensuring that maybe post-elections, we don't have violence, being mediators, in informal mediators and all of that. That is where they're active. And now I keep asking myself, why can't our opposition, why can't maybe our female opposition leader build on this and work with these women? Because we have a lot of women groups that are strongholds that they can build on to actually get the needed votes that they need to bring the change that are needed.
So Jean-Marie, it looks like a lot still needs to happen for stronger opposition in Cameroon, even as we heard Dr. Fulcum say that even to garner women's support, there's still room for improvement. But talking about improvement or room for improvement, I also want to find out, you know, what the situation is like. What has the Electoral Commission said about the availability of election materials and efforts to boost voter turnout and make sure that the election is carried out properly?
Yes, Eddie, we have had press outings from the Minister of Territorial Administration, Minister Paula Tanganji. We have had outings from elections management body here in Cameroon called ELECAM. They have been making press outings and, of course, telling the public that ballot papers have been printed already. The Minister of Territorial Administration even warned that ballot papers for various political candidates have been printed already and that there will be nothing like coalition because their ballot papers are already available. We have seen politicians who the few that have been able to hold political rallies already in possession of campaign ballot papers. That's to say that the ballot papers are already in their possessions or in their various party headquarters. One thing that remains disturbing is the situation in Anglophone Cameroon. We know that with the lockdowns and everything, ballot papers and election material will have to reach polling centers and polling stations only maybe by helicopter, military escort, and all that. That puts to doubt how, if election material are reaching polling stations and centers by military escort and helicopters airlifting at them, what about voters and all that? So at the level of material, yes, for now, there is a seemingly a positive sign that materials are available. But in the Anglophone regions where I'm talking from, it is hard to see because these things are actually smuggled into polling centers that are heavily guarded. And until election day, you cannot concretely say. But the political party leaders have not been complaining That's to show that they are already in position, or maybe they have been served good information, that material. As in boosting voter turnout, it is a dream that many want that it should come true in Anglophone Cameroon. But in the other towns of Cameroon that are conflict-free, I think the political process, I mean the campaigns are enough to animate the scenario and, of course, beef the morale up for people to show up on October 12th. That is the polling day.
Dr. Fokum, we've said a lot. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any major change once again in elections in Cameroon. Your final words to wrap this up.
I would say we all ask for a free and fair elections, where there's freedom of assembly, freedom of movement, freedom of speech, association, where we have independent electoral commission. I mean, the incumbents appoint those at ELECAM. So all we ask for is free and fair elections. And we hope and wish that whoever is coming in as the next president of Cameroon, the long neglected crisis in the Anglophone regions will receive, at least will be heard, and will start getting solutions to the problem.
Dr. Fokum Violet, political analyst and DW correspondent in Cameroon, Jean-Marie Ingonsong, thanks to both of you for your time.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Now, there is always a lot to unpack when it comes to elections in Cameroon. Voters feel a mix of hope and fatigue. Some think Biya has stayed in power for too long. Others fear that change could bring instability, while many criticize the opposition for failing to unite. The only female candidate, Hermine Patricia Ndamjoya, adds a fresh voice, but she faces big challenges with resources, visibility, and mobilization. As Cameroonians vote on October 12, the stakes are high. Many young voters who have only known Paul Biya as the president are hoping for change. Let's hear from some of them.
We are just hoping that things get better, because the situation of the country is getting tough by the day, and we are hoping that whoever wins the election should see into the situations, the problems the citizens are facing. So that's just all the reason why we ought to vote.
As a citizen, it is my birthright. It is a time where I need to decide for the fate of this country for the next 7 years. And I am going in with a lot of optimism.
My generation, young people born in the 90s and the early 2000s, are no more patient. We are at the elastic limit of patience to live under the leadership of one person. So I think that we are going to cast the vote of hope come 12 October 2025.
Cameroonian youths are not yet up to the level of coordinated actions that is independent of politics. And unless they learn from other countries, they cannot have such mobilizations that are on the ground. We have even just Nigeria next door, and SARS, which led to something very big.
In our country, especially the region where I come from, the Southwest region, we are faced with some security challenges. We don't want people who are hot-blooded, people who will not be cool as the head of state to lead us at this point in time. We think he has what it takes to lead us at this point in time.
The current regime no longer works, because when you look at the current regime, you see that we need change. A grandfather, he is already almost 100 years old. Now, if we want to replace a grandfather who is almost 100 years old, and we take a father who is 79 years old, it can't work. We need youth for it to work. We really need youth. Today, when we look at the level of the current regime, the most intelligent children don't go to school. We need change.
To the young voters you've just heard, this isn't just about picking a president. It's a test of democracy after 40 plus years under one leader. in conflict-hit regions, reaching a polling station is a courageous act. Nationwide, people hope for a free, fair, and peaceful vote that can restore trust and spark long overdue reforms. The world will be watching. So what do you think? Share your thoughts on this crucial election with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening. DW, made for mind.